Welcome to Food for Thought. This is your host Michael here. Today I have quite a special guest for you. His name is Alejandro. He's a friend, he's an athlete, he's a great person who loves talking about different topics including science, health, expansion, love, and friendship. So I've decided to divide this podcast into two parts as it's quite a long one. And part one will be talking about upbringing, his childhood, teenagehood, his favorite sports, and how he got into sport in general. Part two will be talking mainly about different topics, actually about society, how kind of society influences us, also about the climate change and how badly we got ourselves into and whether we can kind of get back out of it. We'll also touch base on animals, we'll talk about his future plans, where is he getting his ideas from. So plenty of topics that I definitely recommend listening to, and maybe you'll find something for yourself. I'll finish with that and I will let you decide, but don't forget to comment down below and let me know what you think of the podcast. Take care, enjoy your listening. Let me thank you for coming in here because, you know, I know you're busy and you have some life after work as well, so I really appreciate that. I know you're a friend.
Thank you for inviting me, Michael.
Yeah, okay, very cool. But I really appreciate that and I hope that we will cover a couple of cool topics.
Right.
So let's get started. So, I know the first thing is, I know we've talked about it, but I'd like to kind of get to know your kind of childhood, like where were you born and like how was it up there? Did you enjoy, I know, your kind of teenagehood or childhood?
So I think that my childhood was nice, like a normal childhood, I don't know, like enjoying when you're young, you know, like hanging out with your friends and going to the park, playing football, basketball. We didn't have too many technology at the time, you know, like, that's true. We used to go to the park, like, play to hide and seek. Yeah, I mean, after school, at that time, I just had the PlayStation, for example. I think that I was 8 or something. Mm-hmm. But I didn't used to work too much. I mean, I didn't used to play too much, sorry. I used to hang out, like, I really like sports. I always liked the sports, like, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I had a basketball pitch next to my place, so yeah. That was so good. Or maybe cycling or something.
No phone, no gadgets, just spending all the time outdoor.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to enjoy your childhood.
Yeah, I think that's
enjoy nature.
And where was it? What's the name of the region where you were born?
I was born in Girona.
Girona, okay.
Because there is no hospital in my place.
Okay.
But I grew up in San Feliu, the Guíxols, because in Catalonia we have different San Feliu's.
Okay.
But yeah, San Feliu de Guíxols, which is a lovely place in at the seaside in Catalonia. And yeah, mm-hmm. I really love this place. I mean, I've always said that I used to live in the paradise.
Okay.
I mean, and I'm kind of still, I'm not living there anymore, but I have my house there, so mm-hmm. I'm kind of living there because I can go back whenever I want. So yeah,
that's a plus.
Lovely seaside. I also have a mountain very close, which are some things that I really enjoy, like the seaside and the mountain.
So how far is it from Girona?
30 minutes driving.
Okay. And it's on the coast, right? It's a coastal.
Yeah, it's the seaside. I mean, I was living far away from the beach, mm-hmm. but even though that I was far away, it was like 15 minutes walking.
Okay, so it was nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you can go walking. Cool. Yeah, that's nice.
So you grew up like near the beach and just hanging out with your friends, like,
yeah.
I know you mentioned you were rock climbing too, or climbing, or
into, I mean, I really like climbing and everything that is related to the mm-hmm. mountain, but I was more into ferrata. In at least in Catalonia, in my place, I have a couple of them.
Okay.
And it's so cool because I mean, it's like kind of step before climbing. I mean, for example, you have a cable attached to the wall or to the rock, and you don't actually need a body to secure yourself. You know what I mean? Like, so you have your harness, and you only need your equipment, and you have some kind of places where you can put your feet and you can grab, you know, in order to, like, as I told you, you don't actually need a body.
But it was outdoor, was it?
Yeah, it is, it is. I mean,
okay,
it's kind of a path on the wall, you know what I mean?
Okay, okay, so it's kind of pre-built?
So yeah, yeah, I mean, someone has been, yeah, someone has been there before to equip everything and make sure, like, everything is following these standards to make this, because even though there is kind of, even though there
is for free, or
It's for free. I mean, at least all the ferratas that I've been to are for free.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, once it's equipped, you can go whenever you want to go.
Okay, and so someone prepares it, and are there different levels, like for beginners or something?
Yeah, you have levels from I think it's from 1 to 5. And the one in my place is not that difficult. I think that would be 3 or something. But it's really, really cool, because I think that's, it's kind of unique in the world. I mean, I think it's the only one in Europe by the sea, like by the ocean.
Wow.
And a lot of people is going there in the summer, because it's a really nice place. And also, it's so cool in winter as well, because it's not so packed. I mean, in summer, maybe you see a lot of people there. You have to, for example, if you're accustomed to do this kind of sport, so you're gonna be faster than people who's doing it for the first time.
I know. So you have, you're kind of climbing, you have a beautiful view, and that's it, is it?
Yeah, that's amazing. Even though, for example, if you're going for the first time and you don't feel comfortable, like you don't feel like you're gonna finish, there are some kind of escapes.
Oh,
so that's
okay. So you can escape kind of mid.
Yeah, if you feel like you
don't have to go down.
No, no, no. You don't have to finish it. I mean, if you
feel so
halfway, you have a kind of escape way.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean.
And how tall is it?
Maybe the tallest part, the highest part is kind of 30 meters above the ocean.
Okay.
And that's more or less.
Well, 30 meters, that's quite tall,
yeah,
I would say.
Between 20 and 30, yeah.
So you started climbing when you were younger, or at what age kind of did you practice?
To be honest, I just climbed a couple of times when I was 10, and then I didn't.
And what's the youngest or the lowest kind of age that you could
I mean, with? I've seen a lot of children there, but for example, like, I've seen children like maybe 12 or something. For example, I went with my brother before coming to Ireland, and he's 16. So but actually the age doesn't matter, because I've also been there with a Spanish friend that he was 24 and he didn't finish it.
So it's not that easy, or for someone who's not accustomed to climbing, probably.
There are some things to keep in mind. I mean, you have to keep in mind that you are by the sea, so it's kind of salty. So kind of
slippery.
Yeah, it's slippery. Hands. So, but you can always wear gloves, or there are kind of special gloves to go to these places.
Those powders to grab it properly. Okay, cool. So that was, you said, when you were 10 years old, or you started?
The first time that I have an experience climbing, I was 10, but then when I really started to doing this, I was maybe 22.
Wow.
Or something like this. And I don't know why, I just got interested in this, and I was talking to a friend who used to study like a kind of sport course, and I just asked him what kind of equipment did I need.
Okay.
He told me the kind of equipment that was needed, so I went for the equipment, we went to the place, we did it once, and then I was like, I enjoyed too much, so I I went back the next day on my own.
That's nice. And that's how it started with kind of rock climbing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. And at the time, were you also doing some other sports like that, that you were that interested?
Yeah, I mean, since I was 10, I was playing football, but like in a county league.
Okay.
Okay. And I was also into, for example, I really like snowboarding. I started snowboarding when I was 18.
Okay.
And then I started like getting the equipment because it's kind of expensive. So 1 year I just got the jacket, and maybe afterwards I just got the pants, the gloves, and then I got the whole equipment. Now I even have 2 decks and a lot of equipment.
Okay. And how often do you go, like, I don't know, when you were in Spain, you had access to...
I'm so lucky because, as I told you, I'm from the seaside, but the mountain is really close, and I'm close to the Catalan Pyrenees.
Okay.
And it's kind of an hour and a half driving, and I'm also kind of close to Andorra, which is kind of 3 hours driving.
Mm-hmm.
And in Andorra, it's amazing. I mean, the facilities there are amazing. Yeah, I used to go there more than 10 times during the winter, from December to February.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe 15 times, like maybe the first time just 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Then just maybe wait until it was more snowy. Then go again, like always checking the forecast to enjoy, to get the best days, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool, yeah.
That's amazing. Very nice. So for someone who's starting, let's say, to learn snowboarding, yeah, what would be your kind of best tip, or is there anything you can
share? Patience. The first tip would be patience.
Yeah, patience.
Okay. Like, I mean, you have to keep in mind, like, it's
so
like...
How long does it take, roughly, to kind of maybe get some progress to kind of be able to ride on a slope, or if you're really committed, let's say, I know. How long did it take you?
I mean, I've always been into skateboarding and everything,
okay.
Like, kind of balance sports, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't take me too long, but I think that the key is going to... The first time, going for 4 days or something,
mm-hmm.
and then if you're practicing 3-4 days in a row, you will feel like you're improving. And also, if you're going with someone that already have some notions about it,
mm-hmm.
it'll be even better because they can help you out. And
I see.
You know, so yeah, maybe 3 days, and just be relaxed. You know, keep in mind that the very beginning is gonna be difficult. You're gonna fall over a lot of times, but
it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, once you learn, and once you're kind of good enough to go downhill,
mm-hmm.
you really enjoy. You really feel a freedom that you cannot feel practicing any other sports. I mean, at least for me, it's kind of. So
I don't know. I always had this feeling that it's kind of cold on the.
Rides,
or maybe
it's not
the
actually
day.
I mean, maybe when you're going up the mountain it's kind of cold because you're sitting there, you know, like
not moving at all,
yeah. Yeah, but then when you're up there and you're attached to your snowboard and you're going downhill and moving all the time, because it's so you're attached to the snowboard, so it's a kind of a compliment to your body, so you're
okay.
Moving every movement on your body is gonna
have an impact on what's happening on the board.
Definitely.
Like.
So you are moving all the time, like, and that makes you warm really fast. Yeah.
And how long is the ride, like, if you're...
It depends, because it's kind of, there are different tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go really up to the mountain, like, you can be going down for, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes
okay.
or something.
Wow.
It depends only on the facilities. For example, in Andorra, the facilities are huge, and you can be going downhill, yes, maybe for 30 minutes or something.
Crazy.
It depends.
Okay. That's cool. So you started doing it when you were, what, 18? Or?
I started doing it because I went with school,
mm-hmm.
and it was my first time, but was something that I was really interested in.
And how old were you?
18.
Oh,
18.
Yeah.
I mean, as I told you, I was into skateboarding and stuff, and I really wanted to try this, and I really enjoyed it. It's one of my favorite sports right now.
Okay.
I also like for example, wakeboarding, which is kind of same but different. Mm-hmm. One of them is on snow, the other one is in water. Mm-hmm. So, same material like water, different state.
Yes.
One is solid, the other one is liquid.
And then you're pushed by, I don't know, some kind of...
The cool thing of this kind of sport, like skateboarding, snowboarding, wakeboarding, it's like they all have something in common, but at the same time they are so different, you know? Which is so cool.
So it requires a little bit different set of skills, right?
Yeah, but as long as you know how to keep your balance, because for example, I'm really tall. For example, for someone that is smaller than me, maybe it's easier.
Balance,
but it's all about the balance,
balance
and practicing.
Nice. So that was when you were 18.
Mm-hmm.
So you were already kind of practicing some rock climbing.
Yep.
You were doing skateboarding.
Yeah.
And wakeboarding as well.
Yeah,
right?
As well.
Cool. And then I know that you've been doing some running too.
Yeah, I used to run quite a lot, but
how did it actually start? Like.
To be fair, it was a time when I was like kind of lazy or not too sporty, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was in the exams, the final course in university, the last part of the course when you have a lot of exams and you are kind of so stressed.
Yes. When you have the, I think, leaving certificates, leaving cert, when you have the final exam on the in the high school?
Yeah, kind of, let's say. And yeah, it felt like stress, so I was thinking that running would be a good way to kind of release all this stress.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just started running for,
When was this?
Disconnect. It was when a couple of years ago, I mean, I think I was 23.
Okay.
And yeah, it
and
was
how,
cool.
So it just started like running around the block or running?
Yeah. I mean, at the very beginning, I had a really small route, like not too long.
What
but
was
then,
it, like half a kilometer or 1 kilometer?
No, much longer, maybe 6K.
Wow, so it's not that short.
No,
for the start.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and I felt so comfortable. So eventually, I felt like I was improving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then my cousin and my uncle were into running as well, trail running though.
Mm-hmm.
And they told me to run a trail race.
Okay.
So, but it was a 100K trail race by teams. And yeah, you started running in the mountain as well.
That was how many years ago? What year was it?
Year and a half, 2 years.
2 years ago,
yeah.
So 2016.
Yeah.
Somewhere around that.
So yeah.
Okay, so can you explain how this race, what's the name of the race?
Onco Trail.
Onco Trail.
Onco means it's related to the science that studies the cancer.
Okay.
And everything that you have to pay your sign up for the course, for the race. So all the money that it's made on this trail race, it goes for the people who have cancer. Yeah.
Okay, but does it go to research or just for medicine?
Research.
Okay.
And like improve the lifestyle of the people that are having like
cancer.
The facilities, for example.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, onco, probably it's oncologists.
English
word would be similar. Okay, cool. And so what kind of group? How many people in the team?
It's 8 people plus a driver because, for example, from one check, because 4 people is running, like 4 of them are running, the other 4 are resting. So from checking point to checking point, 4 of them are running, the other 4 are going with we had a van with a lot of like drinks and everything for recovery.
So it's like 4 guys running at the same time.
Yeah, and 4 resting.
Okay.
And then you get to a checkpoint and then you swap.
Okay. But you don't have to swap if one of the guys feels like, yeah, I can go ahead again.
Yeah, for example, or if one of them is kind of so tired or they have an injury or something, So the guy, one of them has to keep running.
Okay. So someone has to keep running.
Yeah, someone and has to keep going.
Okay, but they have to get to the checkpoint.
Yeah.
So even
the whole team has to get to the checkpoint.
Okay. So in total, how much did you run yourself?
I think that it was kind of 45 or something, 45 like kind
kilometers.
Of half race.
Okay.
And yeah, it was nice. And then I was a lot into running, but then I signed up in a trail race, 24K, but that time was on my own, my first trail race on my own.
Okay. And what was the name of the race?
It was. Cursos de montaña de Girona, Transgabarras. Because Las Gavarras is kind of an amount of mountains that we have in my place in Girona.
Okay.
And yeah, I was running this trail race, which was nice actually. Beautiful views, the mountain was amazing, the day was lovely. Even though that it was November, it was sunny, temperature was good. But then the middle.
So how long was it? 24, is it?
24K.
Okay.
And I think the altitude was kind of 1,500 or 2,000, something like this.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was nice. I was enjoying a lot, and then I was running downhill, and I fell over. And
you fell on your knee.
After this, I was resting for 5 minutes, and then I kept running. But
okay.
After a while,
what kilometer was it?
Kilometer 8, I'd say.
Okay, so kind
and
of
then,
early,
yeah,
or halfway.
After the first checkpoint, which was in the kilometer 6, and then I just get to the kilometer 12 and a half, which was the second checkpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I just start feeling a lot of pain in my right knee.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did is like, I couldn't run anymore, but I kept going like walking.
Mm-hmm.
And my knee was bloodying.
Mm-hmm.
So almost at the final of the race, I just came across with some people from the staff that helped me with my knee.
Oh, I see.
To clean the blood and everything. So the last kilometers I could run for the last 6K or 4K.
I see.
I wasn't too happy because I was running in a really good pace, and the track was nice, and I couldn't enjoy as much as I wanted.
So how did the fall happen? Was it downhill?
Yeah, it was downhill. I just fell over like with rocks. It was rocky.
Mm-hmm.
It was also wet.
I see.
Yeah, things
happen. It's nice that you managed to get to the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, I had two options. I could keep going or wait at some checkpoint until the race was over. So I just decided to keep going.
Yeah, I guess it's better. Okay. And afterwards, how bad was this?
It's been the worst injury I ever had. I mean, after this, I was 2 months without running. And then when I was about to start again, the first time that I went for a run,
mm-hmm.
I was running for 8K. And then I started feeling the same pain in my right knee.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I feel my knee like sore, and I couldn't run anymore. So I've been to 3 physiotherapies already, and thankfully nothing is damaged, like not an important injury.
Joint or damage.
Yeah, no, the bones are okay, the muscles are okay. So what I have to do is stretch, and eventually it will be okay. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, so far.
So this is the current situation when you can't really run, although you're recovering
kind of,
and getting better, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating because, you know, I really love sports, and
mm-hmm.
I can practice a lot of them. Like after that, I could go to snowboarding, or I've also been
mm-hmm.
wakeboarding. But yeah, it's kind of not painful, but sore.
Okay.
You know, like. And yeah, it's frustrating because I really enjoyed running, and now I'd really like to once I'm in recovery, I would like to start introducing myself into triathlon.
Yeah, so this is something interesting because we've talked a lot at work about triathlons interesting would it be to run, run, cycle, swim, triathlon.
Yeah, I think that also something related to this was like one of the things that made me kind of think about triathlon. It was like, since I couldn't run, I just tried to find a way to keep practicing a sport. So even though the ocean here in Ireland is not as warm as in my place in Spain, I just got a wetsuit and I started swimming in the ocean. And at least I couldn't run, but at least I can move. I could move my body, and I was studying the current, the tides, and everything. And I really enjoyed. You feel a lot of freedom when you're in the ocean.
Yeah, it's different altogether. Yeah, I'm not a good swimmer at all. So yeah, I'm hoping that you maybe teach me.
I'm a self-taught person, so I really like trying new things, and yeah, I wanted to try this, and since I started, swimming is tough. It's not like running, it's not like cycling. Like for example, running and cycling, eventually if you keep practicing, you're gonna be good, but swimming is kind of, you need to have a good technique, otherwise even though that you're swimming every day, if your technique is not good, you're not gonna improve, you know. But yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of
something that you really enjoy.
Yeah, and swimming, especially I guess in this cold water, can be different to running or
definitely cycling. But at the same time, it
and
makes
in the open ocean, open sea.
Yeah, but it makes you feel alive. I mean, I'm pro makes you feel alive things, you know. Like,
so you bought the swimsuit and everything, and you're kind of, you have the equipment. It's just that, how is the knee affected by swimming? Can you swim, let's say, without any pain?
I can swim, but depending of the, if I'm not having a good technique, I could feel some pain.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not as painful as running, for example, or cycling.
Okay. So you've been swimming for a little bit.
Yeah, I've been
here swimming in Ireland.
Yeah, from May to October, more or less, because now, like, triathlon wetsuits are kind of 3 millimeters thickness.
Yeah.
And it's, for example, for summer and when it's warm, let's say, it's okay, but then when, you know, when it's freezing now in winter, you cannot swim even wearing a wetsuit.
In Ireland, even in summer, it's kind of cold.
It's so still cold, but not as cold as in winter, you know. So.
Yeah. So now your swimsuit is what? How many millimeters?
3 millimeters. Normally, they're kind of different.
So you're kind of cold right now.
What do you mean by this? Like
if you swim right now,
you will be freezing. You could, like, you're taking the risk to get
hypothermia.
Yeah.
Okay.
So better going to a swimming pool in winter.
Yeah. Closed indoor stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So we haven't talked about it, but you also moved to Ireland, so you've been living in your hometown, and I want to talk about how did you kind of, how did the decision happen that you realized or you decided to come to Ireland? Was there any other city or country that you had in mind, or how did it all come together?
Actually, I had two options in mind. The first one was Scotland. Wow. Because I had a friend that told me about Scotland, he was living there. And the other one was Ireland, because I had a friend living here and he kind of helped me out with everything, like how could I find an apartment, what kind of things did I need to work, and basically because I wanted to improve my English, and those were the best options, like the kind of easy options. And also because I was looking for somewhere that I could be close to the ocean, because I'm an ocean lover. Since I was born at the seaside, I need to see the ocean. And yeah, I mean, actually, the decision I made this decision because I was studying electronic engineering, mm-hmm. and I just realized that I didn't actually like it. So I was like, if you don't like something, you have to change it. No, I know a lot of people that they don't like something, and instead changing it, they just keep complaining. I think that
and keep going in something that they don't enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot expect different results if you're doing the same thing always. So if you don't like something, just try a new thing, just change. I mean. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there's a lot of people kind of that are young and who are maybe studying certain thing and they're just studying it for the sake of getting a degree.
Yeah.
Rather than just studying something that they really enjoy doing, and then they end up not really kind of having a job or position in that field, you know, that they were studying, because I don't know, they're just not enjoying this. Or I'm just wondering if it's like there's a lot of wasted time or potential that could eventually be transferred to something that you really, really enjoy doing.
Yeah, actually, my thought is that getting a degree is not synonym of success. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if you don't like something, just go for another thing and just mm-hmm. go to find something that makes you happy.
Okay.
Otherwise,
simple as that.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise you're kind of wasting your time. Why should you waste your time doing something that you don't actually enjoy? I mean, time is something that you will never recover.
Yeah, that's the most expensive asset
definitely.
Right?
Once it's gone, you're not gonna get it back.
Yeah, so enjoy it. As well enjoy it. Okay, so we kind of got to the current situation when you moved to Dublin.
Yeah,
you still have or still recovering with that knee.
Yeah,
but you're doing good, and we have even a trip in mind for next year, but we'll talk about this maybe later.
All right.
So I have a couple of kind of weird questions.
Okay.
There's like maybe 6 questions that I want to go through. Okay, so the first one is kind of a funny. On a scale of 1 to 10, how weird are you?
Well, that's a really relative question. I mean,
how weird would Alejandro Laprada be?
That depends on the point of view. I mean, to my eyes, I'm not a weird person, but I would say that some of my thoughts are kind of weird, so maybe I would put myself in the middle of this scale, maybe 5, 4, 5.
Yeah, for yourself.
Yeah, right. I mean, maybe I'm weird for the society where live nowadays, you know, like. But yeah, I mean, I don't find that I'm a weird person. But
okay.
Maybe to anyone else, I'm kind of weird.
You're kind of weird to me, but if you say 5, that's good. And yeah, about society, we'll talk about this later, so not to worry. But okay, so for yourself, you're 5, and then for others, or how others see you, that depends. Okay, so the second question, if you could send a message to yourself 10 years ago, what would you tell the younger Alejandro, who was... How old are you right now?
I'm 25.
So what would you say to the guy, the 15 years old Alejandro? Would there be anything that you'd like to let him know?
I don't know. I might tell him, like, look, enjoy, because as I told you, once time is gone, it's gone. You're not gonna get it back. So yes, maybe enjoy as much as you can.
Would you give him some advice that, let's say, you're doing right now that you weren't doing and you wish you were doing?
No, actually, because I think that making mistakes is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like, in order to improve, you have to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're not... Even though that you're getting a lot of advices or tips, if you don't have the experience and you make the mistake, you're not gonna learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, try it, and if you fail, Like, if you success, it's okay. If you fail, you're gonna learn something.
That's true. That's good. Okay. Where do you get your best ideas?
Where do I get my best ideas? I don't think that I have good ideas. But I don't know, maybe when I'm relaxed, when I'm kind of clear. Definitely not when I'm upset or frustrated or, stressed.
So in this relaxed state of mind, that's when the ideas are coming.
Yeah, definitely when you're relaxed and you're kind of focused, like, you're not, how to say it, like, nothing is
bothering you or nothing's occupying your mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And if you have a good fellow being around, that's a plus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So now, what are you not good at or not very good at? What do you think that you could improve on, or something that you kind of totally... You have two left hands, as we say it.
That's a tricky question, actually. Yeah. I don't know, maybe...
Is there something that you are kind of feel like you're really bad and you feel like you'd like to improve?
Sometimes I think I should be more quiet, depending the situation.
Okay.
But I think that it's not a big deal. I mean...
You mean like you're talking a lot, or...?
No, but sometimes it's kind of when you're waiting for something, and if you tell to someone, maybe it's not gonna be okay. So if you're quiet and you don't say anything, if it's okay, it's okay. If it's not okay, so since you kept this thing to yourself, so you know what I mean, like, it's tricky to explain. It's really tricky to explain.
Okay. And like, so like patience, or maybe like,
maybe
not
maybe
sharing patient. Certain information,
yeah, for example,
until
those...
it actually happens, or
yeah,
keeping it
definitely on... you explained it in a
not
really
to get
good way.
Crazy excited about...
you found the words to say.
Yeah, because I'm the same.
Okay. I'm glad that I'm not the only one.
No, definitely I have loads of ideas that I like to share with people.
Yeah.
And I think it's also good because when you share, you also
have
another perspective, right?
That's,
someone else will tell you, oh, this is bullshit because of X, Y, and Z, right? Or someone says, actually, you know what? This is a cool idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, it's not something that you can say like, yeah, I'm bad at this. Because, as you said, sometimes sharing your ideas are good. Like, you can have another point of view that can makes you see this thing from another perspective.
Yeah,
that you didn't see this thing from this point of view.
True. Okay, so next one. What are your plans for the next 5 years, let's say? Or next 5 years, what would be your...
Actually, one of the thoughts would be like, when I was studying engineering, I really like design, like 3D, AutoCAD. So I was thinking to study something related to this, and in the meantime just keep working, save some money, and eventually I would like to go to either to Australia or Canada, because I mean, Canada, it's an amazing country, they have amazing mountains, and since I'm a mountain lover, like, I could enjoy snowboarding there. And the same for Australia. I mean, I'm also into the ocean things, you know, like, I really love the ocean. Like, it gives you freedom. And also, I really love animals, so I think that I could have the chance to see a lot of animals that I'd like to see. Like, I'm not into zoo or those things. I think that if you want to see the nature, like, the actual nature, you have to go to these places and see the animals in their habitat, like not in a cage. You know what I mean? I think that's not fair. So
you don't want to participate in paying for keeping the animals enslaved in cage.
I mean, we're treating them bad, and we're not anyone to tell them what to do. I mean,
mm-hmm. That's true. I agree that they have their own rights.
Yeah, and we should respect it. The problem is that they cannot talk and say, look, I have my rights. So yeah, we know that they have their rights, so just try to...
So we should be talking for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely just...
People too.
We wouldn't like to be in a cage and being showing to the whole world like, wow.
Or at least let them make the decision, but yeah, since definitely, they can't talk, we cannot assume that they like this
definitely,
to happen,
yeah.
You know. They came from wilderness, so I think that's their place, you know, it's not for us to play with them or
definitely
use them for money. Okay, cool. So you'd like to go to Canada, and Vancouver is actually very cool. It's kind of cold, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been told that Vancouver is one of the best places in Canada.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know the place because it's a long time, a long term idea.
It's more rainy
so.
Than in Dublin. Okay, so that's the end of my questions, kind of, and I just want to talk about, like, expand the topic of society and kind of community of people or society as such. Like, I know that you have your own opinion about this, and I'd like to kind of learn about this a little bit. If you could expand that this topic, like, what do you think of today's society?
I mean,
like,
maybe
do you think, are we doing good or not really?
I mean, that's an opinion, and everyone has their opinion. So
okay.
Maybe,
so I'd like to know your.
Maybe for someone I'm wrong, but I feel like sometimes I feel like an slave of society. You know, like it feels like you're kind of attached to your work from Monday to Friday, waiting for the weekend. I think it's life is not, it's not like this. It's not all about waiting for the weekend or for the holidays. It's just
getting
like
drunk.
Yeah, or going to the, I mean, from time to time it's okay if you're gonna hang out or, you know, having some drinks, go to the restaurant, enjoy with your family or your friends. But going back to the work thing, I think that life should be more like enjoying every second and find something that really makes you happy, not just going to work from Monday to Friday, waiting for the weekend, for your free time. You have to find something that you don't actually feel like you're working, you know, like you're really happy doing it, like you're really enjoying it. So yeah, I think that I'm working on this actually, like trying to find something that I really like to do.
Okay.
But yeah, I think that these things take time, so...
So although right now you have kind of 9-to-5 job and you kind of have or do certain things, you think that that you were meant to do greater things, right?
Yeah,
I know you said
but,
that. I like this sentence that you said.
Yeah, I have always thought that I was born to do great things. I don't actually know what are those things.
Okay.
I was still trying to figure it out, but...
But it's not working in the company.
It's not working in
the
company with, no...
having fun over the weekends and getting drunk and...
No, definitely it's not.
Going to the parties, that's not you.
It's like, find something that you really enjoy to do, like enjoying life, enjoying every second. Because again, it's everything about the time. I mean, for example, if you get a job, it's kind of cool, you're getting money, you can spend it, but actually, money is a tool. I mean, and you can get your money back if you lose your money, like,
yeah.
I don't know, doing different stuff. Because like,
people
but again,
are too attached, I think, to the money, right?
You can get your money back, but again, you won't get your time back, so enjoy your time. We are living like we're gonna live forever, but we won't. At some point, we're gonna pass out, you know, like. So enjoy now, and then when you get old, you're gonna be like, wow, I really enjoy my time.
Yeah, you can look back and say, like.
Yeah, and you say, like, wow, I really enjoyed what I was doing. Instead, regretting about you, what you didn't do.
That's true. Cool, thanks for sharing that. And then kind of last topic before we will close the whole thing.
Right.
I know we talked as well about climate change and how the climate's changing and who's to maybe blame for it or not. Do you think that generally we're heading in the right direction, or do you think that...
So I think...
How do we kind of treat our even Mother Nature, Pachamama?
Pachamama. I mean, I think that we are destroying the place where we live, and I think that's so silly. I mean, we are the only animal that is destroying his habitat, you know? Like, I mean, you won't see a dolphin destroying the ocean, or so we are destroying our place. And I mean, now I think that we should work on it, because
I mean, so you think the climate change is real, right?
Definitely. I mean, 100%.
You're not the Trump.
No, definitely. I mean, it's so noticeable. You can see the ocean full of plastic.
And do you see changes in your own village, or how did this impact your village, in sense maybe less fish, or maybe higher prices?
Yes, maybe, for example, if you go to the
pollution or water, maybe, or
definitely you can feel the pollution. I mean, for example, different things that are not normal. Like, for example, I've never been to Ireland before, but I think that it's weird that we are still in November. We're in November. It's November now, and it's still kind of warm. Should be cold. We are in the north part of the Everest. So those kind of things are so noticeable. Also, as I told you can see the ocean full of plastic, like different parts of the ocean, the poles are kind of melting.
That's a big one. There's a lot of documentaries showing that. But
and it's not something that we are kind of imagining. It's something real. It's happening right now.
And how do you think, how bad is it? Like, do you think
it's awful? I mean, a lot of species are
extinct.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're just trying
to... Do you think we can reverse it? I mean, I know we're kind of pessimistic right now, do you think we can get better at things?
We can try to maybe not fix it, because it's going to be a really long-term thing, but just change some things in order to stop destroying the planet and help him to get back to the normal weather and normal things, you know. But we have already done a lot of damage, which is awful. So we can change a lot of things and try to reduce the amount of, for example, plastic pollution, but at the same time we have already done a lot of damage. But yeah, we can always try to do it better.
Definitely better.
Definitely.
You can do better than that. I think that's it.
You have to be aware of it and try to do it different in order to stop destroying the planet.
I think that I don't know if you'd agree, but there's a lot of people who are thinking like, yeah, this is happening and I'm not kind of involved, that, you know, oh, I'm a good person and I'm not doing anything bad, or I try to do my best. But there is much more that the person can do, but they're thinking like, oh, it's not my country, or not me, or not my kind of
maybe it's not your
community
country
that's doing it. But I think there are even small steps that can help the environment.
Yeah, I mean, the small details can be the biggest ones.
Yeah.
So
if each of us individually will kind of add a little bit to it, maybe less plastic, or maybe going vegetarian and not killing animals and decreasing the amount of meat that's sold, and because of that actually has a huge impact on climate.
Definitely.
So maybe,
but at the same time, I see like some people is working on it in order to avoid these things. For example, I saw the other day people from Chile were investigating a kind of, it's not plastic, but a kind of plastic that is soluble before and not...
I've seen this somewhere,
It's not like...
So it's like recyclable, but completely...
Yeah, not residual, like...
Biodegradable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, actually. Very cool idea. I know, like, I remember when I've been in Thailand and there's so much plastic used there. It's just insane. Everywhere, let's say even soups and everything, it's in the small plastic bags. So sometimes when I was buying, I don't know, just a bottle of water, I could see that they are putting one bag into another bag because they think it's, oh, this bottle is too heavy, so we need two bags. Plus they put three or four straws into the bag, okay? So you could drink it, but it's so much plastic in one thing. So I always kind of let them know that no, I don't need it. I don't need the straws. I don't need the bags. I have my one kind of reusable bag, and that's it.
Yeah, you can or clothes bags or something like this.
Yeah,
we are using a lot of plastic, which is kind of, it takes too long to be degraded.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah, I'm sure there is so many ways to kind of improve that, and I hope that maybe everyone who's listening, maybe they will have a thought about this and maybe put a couple of small steps into their daily life to kind of change, right?
That would be great,
nice. Okay, cool. So we'll be kind of coming to an end, but before I end, I have another question.
Okay.
I know. If you were to kind of give some tips to a person who's like right now thinking of, I don't know, getting into sports or maybe, I don't know, thinking of that they're kind of, you know, what they're doing right now is not that great and they'd like to do something but they don't know what to do, what would be your tip or kind of what could you give away? Kind of your insights.
I'm not the best person to give any tip, but if I could,
anything that you, from your experience, you think that would be kind of that's valuable to do or to think about.
I would tell them that if you have an idea, just try it, go for it. And if you get, if you made a mistake, it's okay. It's not a, it's not a fail. It's always an improvement. At least you tried it.
Yeah.
If you don't try it, if you don't try it, you don't know it. So just go for it, enjoy. It's better regret what you did, not what you didn't.
That's true, and I think even this podcast could be an example of just creating, or it all came around from just an idea, and now we're doing it. So I really appreciate you staying here with me, and yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. Subscribe or let us know or post some comments and let us know what you think about the podcast. Once again, thanks for being here and answering all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michael.